What may surprise us all is the recognition that these shadows have covered us. Each character will end his or her monologue with the following response: Lord, have mercy.
I don't know when it happened, but things changed somehow. At first, he was strong, confident, outspoken. I had such high hopes. Finally, a leader to throw off the Roman government. But just when the time was right, at the height of his popularity, he withdrew. He became silent, almost introspective. I thought a bit of a push would help him reach for greatness. You know, pass on a bit of information about his movements and make a bit of cash on the side for myself. And then watch him rise to victory when they came for him. Only it didn't work out like that. He let them take him. "You will betray me, Judas," he said. I wonder how he knew. I thought I was being discreet, but I didn't expect it to turn out as it did. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
He was such a unique boy, my nephew Jesus, cousin to my sons James and John, but more of a friend to them, really, and to me. He was always caring, always serving, always putting others first. I remember when I asked him if my boys could sit on thrones with him in his kingdom, one on his left and one on his right. "Salome," he said to me, "the great ones in God's kingdom are the ones who serve. Even I have come to serve and to lay down my life." I felt rather humbled that unbelievable weekend. It's incredible that in his time of agony, praying all alone, the ones he served so well couldn't serve him in return, not for one short hour. There they were, my sons and Peter, all asleep while Jesus cried and sweated blood. And none of the rest of us were any better. Alone he prayed, "Take this cup away from me, but not my will, Father, yours be done." Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
That was a dark night. We didn't expect to see those terrible things. Perhaps we should have foreseen it, prepared for it. Maybe then we would have reacted differently and stood with him through it all. But we didn't understand. So there we were, Peter, James, and me, fast asleep, oblivious to his pain. And suddenly he's waking us up, and there is Judas, torches and swords and soldiers. And they're arresting Jesus. We were no match for them, and they would have taken us too. We were terrified, and so we ran away, all of us, and left him to face their swords alone. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
What was I thinking? I expected so much more for myself. Oh, at the table, it was easy. When Jesus talked about being betrayed and arrested and dying, I was angry and protective. "I'll fight for you, Lord," I said. "I'll die for you." I thought he was just frightened and emotional when he replied, "No, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will deny knowing me." Deny him? I wouldn't have thought it was possible. That was then. Now I know it's true. When it finally came down to it, I couldn't fight for him. I couldn't die for him. I couldn't even answer the question of his servant girl. Yes, I know him. I follow him. I believe in him. And as they led him away, he looked at me, those eyes. I expected anger and judgment, but there was only love in his eyes. There was only ever love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
People were curious about my devotion to Jesus, but it's easy to understand, really. I lived with accusations all my life. Adulterer, prostitute, madwoman, evil, possessed. They said it all and more, and some of it was true. But Jesus, he didn't accuse. He didn't judge. He didn't make any demands or require anything. For the first time, someone saw past the pain and brokenness to my soul and gave me the freedom I longed for. Of course, I was devoted. What an irony that the one who accepted and included all without accusation should be forced to hear lies about himself, should stand alone and face all those pointed fingers. The one whose only crime was acceptance, sentenced to death on the force of false accusations by the ones he sought to love and heal. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Somehow I've developed a reputation for doubt and questioning. A little unfairly, I think, but I do confess to being confused and uncertain, especially at the end. I mean, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, the whole nation was eating out of the palm of his hand. And then, suddenly, they were shouting, "Crucify him!" And with all his power, he just stood there. Then when the soldiers mocked him, he took it all. They stripped the bloodied robe from his body, torn from the terrible flogging, and pretended to worship him as king. They pressed upon his head a handmade crown of hard Judean thorns. They hit him, spat on him, pulled out his hair, his beard. How was I to understand this? He could have snuffed them out in a heartbeat, but he didn't. He just let them mock him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Should I have known that moment would come? There had been death threats from when he was a baby, and he'd spoken about his death more than once. Maybe I should have seen it, but nothing can prepare a mother to watch her child die. I don't know how I got through that day. My son, sentenced to crucifixion, the slowest and most agonizing death, executed with thieves. My son, who had done nothing wrong, and in the face of it all, he forgave them, forgave all of us. Then he cried out, "It is finished." And as I watched that last breath leave his body, it was like it was me dying up there. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. If I was unprepared for Jesus' death, I was completely astounded by what would follow on Sunday morning.